All right, so we'll just go into it, eh?
Mm-hmm.
All right. 3, 2, 1. I'm Phil DeLuca.
I'm Nate Burgess.
And we are Commanderin.
Yep.
Commanderin.
Thanks for listening, everybody. We're going to put a spotlight on community issues, but never ever talk about three banned topics. We need to be able to talk about hip-hop. It's essential.
Really?
Yep.
I don't know that we're authorities on that.
I'm pretty sure we're not.
Mm.
But we can still talk about it.
Well,
so our three banned topics and one restricted topic. How's that?
Sure.
Religion, politics, Hearthstone, and our restricted topic, hip-hop. That's really to protect you, listeners. It's no particular bias against hip-hop. It's just you don't want us involved in that at all.
Mm-mm.
Patreon allows you to give back to the creators you appreciate. If you donate a buck a show, it helps immensely. And if you donate $10 per show, you get access to all of the hosts in our exclusive Facebook chat group. Patroni there also get to contribute to show plans, and they get sneak peeks and sometimes even exclusive content. And now, Nate, we have a buck a show donation level. So
all those folks
who are like, hey, I can't navigate the clumsy Patreon interface in order to just change my donation to $1. Now you can just click on a link and bam.
Oh, wow.
A buck.
That is a fantastic technological achievement. That is a breakthrough.
It is.
In donating technology.
Yes. I think they call it Donatech.
Mm.
And you can check us out on YouTube by searching for Commanderin MTG Podcast. We have two super patrons, Nate Hunter Pruitt and Bradford Heron, who are working to bring our viewers videos each and every week.
Mm-hmm.
They have been especially grateful for the increasing show length over the last few episodes. So we'll try to keep this one snappy.
Mm.
The last month, I kind of reviewed it. We had some pretty amazing guests on. And this week, we have a wonderful show lined up for the listeners.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to talk about what exactly, Nate?
This subject is a long time coming. Suppose you are just getting into Commander. You have one of the four-color Commander 2016 precons.
Yeah, I do.
So what are your options for improving your land base so that you actually have all the colors you need to cast your four-color Commander on turn four?
Selling organs on the black market.
How often does that happen? I mean, that getting the four colors, not selling the organs. You can only sell your organs a few times. And then you run out.
Yeah.
So we're going to go over the different categories of lands that can tap for more than one color of mana. This doesn't have to be about a four-color land base. This could be about whatever deck you're building if it has more than one color. But since we got these four-color Commander precons, this is a good opportunity to talk about it.
Yeah.
So we're going to go over the categories with an eye on how much you'll be spending for each category, and we'll reveal our personal favorites.
Dun, dun, dun!
Some of these categories are super budget, and others can get super expensive, especially if you need six different two-color lands to cover all four of your colors.
Oh.
Yeah, you have some of those, don't you, Phil?
Yeah, I do, but fortunately I didn't have to pay for them, not by today's prices at least.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, I got lucky.
Yeah, the real estate market has gone crazy.
Mm-hmm. It's very topical, too. I've heard this now on a couple of different podcasts I listen to that listeners are writing in and kind of complaining about breaking the bank on a four-color land base, and I think we're about to show that you don't have to do that.
You don't have to. You can a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah. So, Phil, do you want to tell us about the news?
Hey! There was a Grand Prix last weekend, wasn't there?
Yep. I think there was a few in different places.
Yeah, but we only care about one.
Well, I went to San Jose.
That's right. That's the one.
Mm-hmm.
What was it like?
I played EDH there. I played several games. It was very crowded. It was like a lot of capacity, a lot of players there, all over the place.
And were you able to find a table to play EDH? Normally, we kind of hunker down and sequester ourselves in a corner and play uninterrupted all day long.
Yeah, that could work if not many people show up to fill the stadium, but this time there were a lot of people.
Whoa.
And so we eventually got kicked off the table enough times that we just went out into the lobby and claimed a space.
You just picked up all your toys and went home. Well, to the lobby.
No, we didn't go home. We just went to the next room where there weren't any judges.
That's right. Where the person who argues the most can have his or her way.
No, we got the internet now.
Damn you, internet. Who'd you play with?
Oh, I played with...
Are you being attacked by wild cats?
If you hear a tornado of tiny bells, I recently acquired some kittens, and they have set up a racetrack, and one leg of it goes right behind the couch in like a tunnel. And comes out past my feet, so I might get some scratches on my feet or legs. Oh, yeah, so I played against A.E. Marling. Yaleva was avenged.
Oh, no giant oyster this time?
No giant. No, this was his Grimgrin, which doesn't play oysters, it plays zombies. I played against Shivam a couple times.
Oh, cool.
And in total, Yaleva won half her games.
All right. Any spectacular plays?
I think my opponents might suggest that we do a watch list on Mizzix's mastery. Because when your Yaleva deck is literally half instants and sorceries, then you're going to have a bunch of them in your graveyard. Maybe like six or seven. And then if you got eight mana and three of that's red, you can overload Mizzix's mastery and cast all those spells again. And if one of them happens to be expropriate because it got countered earlier, then everybody just decides to play a new game.
Because it got countered earlier.
Yep.
That's great.
Yep. So the expropriate went in the graveyard, and there it was, along with three other one-sided board wipes and a couple other things.
Oh. And was that AE with the counter?
Yeah, he did counter that.
Yeah.
But not the second time.
Bum, bum, bum. Oh, yeah, that's a great card.
Yeah, it goes well with other cards.
Yeah, I would say it does, huh?
Yep.
So how did they vote?
Oh, they voted to scoop and start a new game.
Did they
voted
really?
To concede, yes.
Oh, my.
Because they saw what else was in my graveyard and... stuff was going to happen that turn.
Yeah, Yaleva, when she goes off, it's amazing. It's amazing. You really need that giant oyster to tie her down.
Mm.
Well, it sounds like you had a really good time. I hope everybody playing with you now appreciates the level of torment you subject at least your digital meta to on a regular basis.
Oh, I also played against Link. Moxbant.
Oh, very cool. How is he?
He was cool. But he got to watch me play a Decree of Pain and draw 17 cards with a Reliquary Tower out.
17 cards off of the Decree.
Well, there were 17 creatures.
How many players?
Four players. They were all four-player games.
Was anyone running tokens?
Yeah, there were some tokens.
All right. Goodness gracious. What did Link say? Did he say he would never play you again now?
No, he kind of got this happy look on his face and nodded giddily when I pointed to my Reliquary Tower.
Well, Nate, as astute listeners have no doubt detected already, there are only two voices on this podcast, and neither of them has a pretentious British accent.
Not right now, anyway.
Yes, I'm sure we'll cover it at some point. Which begs the question, then, where's Sean?
Oh, he moved to France. He decided that the French people were a beautiful and wonderful and polite people, and he decided to live there for a while because he likes them so much.
And who doesn't, Nate?
Mm-hmm.
They have good wine.
Yeah, cheese, too.
Mm-hmm.
They have stinky cheese.
Yes, they do. And the most delicious snails in the world.
I don't know about that. I make some mean snails.
Do you?
Let me tell you. No, not really.
Well, so Sean has made his own Brexit. He's living in the French countryside, or did he go straight for Paris?
Let's say he went to the tunnels under the Maginot Line.
Oh, sure.
Because he likes dark enclosed spaces and well-fortified.
Yeah. They got some good LARPing in those tunnels.
Oh, yeah. That's a great place.
Well, we'll have to check in later and see if Sean is up early and running his Hobbit character. I know that's not the dark sorcerer he normally plays, but, you know, change of pace.
Mm.
Now, we've been playing and playtesting a few things, haven't we?
Sure. So I went to GP San Jose. I took Yalevo with the recent additions from the Commander 2016 and Aether Revolt sets. I upgraded from Gutter Snipe to Vile Smasher, but he didn't show up on the board,
aww,
which was too bad. In addition to that, outside of Magic, I've been replaying the Fallout series, the Fallout 3, New Vegas, and Fallout 4, so I can remind myself in an educational manner what Washington, D.C. and the Eastern Seaboard will look like after a nuclear apocalypse.
Mm-hmm.
And Plants vs. Zombies Heroes is a phone game which I kind of like, and under the hood, it has a lot of similarities to Magic the Gathering.
Wow. You had previously kind of sworn off playing phone games, hadn't you?
Yeah, but then I got a new phone.
That'll do it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. I had confused that entirely earlier with the first-person shooter Plants vs. Zombies game.
No, not that one.
Right, no.
This is the deck-building card game. So it is a card game. You have a deck of 40 cards. You can have four of any one type. Each player starts with 20 life. And the cards are either creatures that have a power and toughness and maybe a tribal type, maybe a triggered ability. They have a mana cost. And the other cards in your deck might be tricks, which are basically instants and sorceries.
Oh, look at that.
And then the colors of your deck are defined on each side of the plants and the zombies. There are basically five different colors of magic.
What?
And your hero has two of those colors. And so you pick a hero and then you build a deck using the two colors of magic that are available to you.
Do your heroes have activated abilities?
They have triggered abilities. Each hero has four different, basically, cards that they can play. And they get one for free at the start of the game, but then, like, every third or fourth hit that your hero receives, they block the attack, and they can get one of their superpower abilities.
Oh, I did play this.
Yeah. So under the hood, there's a lot of deck building, and then the actual gameplay, it's kind of like it's all combat pretty much, except there are five lanes of combat, and you assign your attackers and blockers into a specific lane.
Yeah.
And unless you're doing shenanigans, they pretty much stay in their lane.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I think I have this on my iPad, actually. And my iPad is so busted and reboots itself all the time that I haven't been able to do much of anything. In fact, building decks using the app is, such a pain now. Yeah, I gave up on Plants vs. Zombies Heroes when, like, it just kept crashing.
Mm.
But it wasn't the software's fault. That was my iPad. It would just reboot spontaneously.
Dope.
Yeah. Maybe I'll steal my kids and see what the game is like with an iPad that you can actually play it on. Since we're on the topic of non-magic games, they relaunched Dominion at dominion.games, and it's pretty good. It's a lot better than it was previously under the, I forget even who developed it, but it's pretty good, and I can't actually talk to people or interact in a multiplayer game when, you know, say I'm working on the podcast or doing something else on the computer, and so what I'll do is I'll have Dominion up, and I'll be playing that. that's actually kind of cool. Again, it's very similar to the previous interface, but a lot smoother. So if you're a Dominion fan, Nate, if you like deck building, Dominion's for you.
Mm.
Yeah. And it will come as a complete surprise to you that I am also Ket Jack on Dominion Games. Either that or Philip DeLuca, I can't recall.
It'll be a surprise.
It'll be a surprise. I'm playing in an Aether Revolt sealed league at work. I haven't built a deck yet. I've opened my cards. My first opponent is Jonathan Laux. Right. So I'm just done. He's already beaten me. We just haven't played. I haven't even built my deck yet, and I know he's beaten me.
You defeated yourself, sir.
I did. No, I didn't. I just set the seeds up, and then when I ran it through a bracket generator, I got paired with Jonathan, which, of course, is the worst possible outcome for me. And I have no cards, no synergy, nothing. So, I mean, I got a Johnny. I got the Angel that if you would lose the game, you exile it. But
so that's your plan.
Yeah, that is my plan.
Your plan is to lose the game. You're already planning to lose the game.
See, I'm planning ahead. And I finally got off my butt and finished the, I say finished, I've got 140 cards, I feel like Shivam, in my Talrand deck, my first ever Talrand deck. I did not EDH rec it, even to do some research. I just, like a big boy, Nate, I built a deck on my own, which means it'll be terrible. But it's got a lot of fun instants and sorceries, so.
Hmm.
Yeah. And I'm missing a couple of really key cards. I did not put an Archaeomancer in. I need to do that. I need to transfer my Snapcaster Mage into that deck.
Hmm. Baral, Chief of Compliance.
I need a Baral. The Baral is in my Aether Revolt Sealed League, but I have no instants and sorceries to speak of in the Aether Revolt Sealed League, so I guess I'll just take it, put it in Dalaran. And I have a Torrential Gear Hulk also in that sealed deck, which will go into Talrand eventually. So we'll see how it goes. We'll see. Anyway.
I see you have high hopes.
Yes. All my magic I'm losing. But let's get on to the main topic, shall we? That's what people are here for, Nate. They're here to hear about the lands.
The lands. So our main topic. We're going to talk about lands that can tap for more than one color of mana. And there's a bunch of them. So let's start with the ones that tap for any color.
Any color.
Now, if you bought any kind of commander precon that isn't a monocolor precon, then you already have a command tower. And if you don't, then it's a dollar. But command tower pretty much goes into every commander deck that has more than one color. After that, so then, City of Brass, you can tap it for any color of mana, but it hurts you. The pain.
Ouch.
And that costs about $3.
Yeah, it sure does.
Mm-hmm. Next, Forbidden Orchard. Hey, do you care if your opponents get a 1-1 every time you tap this? Like, every time you tap this? Now, maybe you can be political about it, and you can say, hey, buddy, who's going to be my buddy? You want a 1-1 to block whatever that other person has, great, you'll be my friend.
Yeah, but now you've made the other person your enemy.
Well, then next turn you give them the 1-1. I don't know, you spread it around. You get some Josh Lee Kwai on that.
It's just a 1-1.
Yeah. So I can tap for any color mana, but you're giving your opponents a creature. Mm. It's a weak creature. And maybe there's some shenanigans you can do there. But that's about $3. Mana Confluence.
The cats.
Well, it's their excited time.
Yeah.
So with Mana Confluence, you tap it and you pay one life. So it's basically like City of Brass. And you add one mana of any color. And that's $7. Why is that $7 while City of Brass is $3?
It's got to be a more limited print run. Like, as funny as that sounds, that was the middle set, wasn't it?
Well, let's see. Well, City of Brass has been reprinted several times.
Well, actually, TCG Player says Mana Confluence is... Oh, these are heavily played. Yeah. The expedition is a mere $50.
Ay. So what's up with that?
Well, it's cheap for an expedition.
Mm.
Yeah, so they're about $5, the Manic Confluences.
Mm. So, well,
either way, you don't like it, do you?
I don't like it.
Yeah.
I don't like it very much. Yeah. So let's get to some more budget options. Now, these are all going to be less than a dollar. We're going to call them gumball cards. Rupture Spire. It enters the battlefield tapped, and that's why it only costs a gumball. And when it enters the battlefield, you sacrifice it unless you pay one. So that's a one-time cost, and then you can tap it for any color of mana. And that's a gumball. Then there's Transguild Promenade, which is basically the same thing.
Yeah, it's functionally identical.
Except it's got a different name, and that is also a gumball.
Well, you can see the difference, you know, like those are a gumball and these others are multiple dollars. And that coming into play and costing a mana is non-trivial.
Yep. You're only going to need one of each of these for your deck.
Do you play Forbidden Orchard now that it's been reprinted?
I do not play Forbidden Orchard. Mm-hmm. I do play one of the ones we'll talk about in a second, though.
Okay.
So these next ones are conditional. You don't always want to play them, but they can tap for any color of mana. Cavern of Souls. Mm-hmm. Are you running a tribal deck?
I am, yeah.
Okay. Well, if you are, and you plan on casting those creatures, and they're all of a certain tribe, then you can use Cavern of Souls. Which is about $60.
I am super lucky because I opened like 12 packs of Avacyn Restored.
Mm.
I got two of these and one foil version.
Yikes.
So yeah, I'm kind of happy. And you can sometimes find them. I'm looking at TCG again, and it's a mere $46, Nate, on the low end.
Mm. Yeah, so you gotta really like your tribe.
Oh, near mint is $111 for the foil.
You gotta really like your tribe
really?
For that.
You better be attached to that tribe.
Mm-hmm. So suppose you don't care about a specific type of tribe, but you do want to cast a lot of creatures. How about Ancient Ziggurat? You can only use it for creature spells. Taps for any color of mana, yep. But you can only use it for creature spells.
Only them creatures.
And those are about $3. Now, this next one I do use, because in practice, it's almost a command tower. Reflecting Pool. Costs about $9 or $10. And if you already have a color of mana, then you can tap this for another one.
Oh.
Now, it's not going to help you cast your four-color commander sooner, but it is going to help you with every spell that has two or more pips of the same color.
Yeah. Nate, that one's a pricey card for your typical flavor.
Yeah, but I like it. I like Reflecting Pool.
Yeah.
There are some more specific tribal lands. I'm not going to go into them too much. There's one for allies. There's one for dragons.
Yeah.
There's one for elementals. And there's one more. I forget which. So some budget conditionals. There's Exotic Orchard. It's kind of like Reflecting Pool in reverse. So if your opponents have a land that can tap for a certain color, then Exotic Orchard can tap for that color. And if you have three different opponents, that probably means it's a command tower.
Yeah, especially with the prevalence of four-color decks these days.
Yeah, until you kill off your opponents, and then it gets worse.
But by then you need it less.
Yeah, by then you don't need it so much. And that's about a gumball. Next, there are these Vivid Lands. They come in tapped, and they get a couple counters on them.
Mm.
You can tap them and take a counter off to get one mana of any color. And they each normally tap for one of the regular colors. So they do generate colored mana after all the counters are gone.
Counters? That's particularly useful these days, huh?
I don't know if Atraxa wants these Vivid Lands.
Because they're slow?
Well, let me look something up. There was a different type of land.
Oh, the count, the storage lands, right?
Not, well, not just the storage lands. There was a different type.
One mana of a particular color, and then X, where X is the number of counters you remove, right?
No.
No. No. No. No.
Depletion lands.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They come in with counters, and then you can... Let's bring one up here. How about River Delta? So River Delta, if there are any depletion counters on River Delta, it does not untap. So that's why I, that's why this isn't in the show plan. Yeah, never mind. Get this out of here. If it has any counters, it does not untap. Yeah, this Screw is, you.
No, these are terrible. Okay, I didn't even use these back in the day.
Mercadian Masks depletion lands is different from the Ice Age depletion lands. So the Mercadian Masks will come into play tapped with two depletion counters. You can tap it to remove a depletion counter, and then it adds two mana of a specific color to your mana pool. And if there are no depletion counters on it, then you can sacrifice it. These could come into Atraxa, I think.
Oh,
these,
yeah,
Mercadian Mask types.
Because they're profit.
Yeah, because they do come in tapped on the first turn, but then they tap for two mana forever, as long as Atraxa is proliferating.
And she's known to do that.
Yep.
And Gemstone Mine.
Eh, that one's... Yeah. I don't like the lands that sacrifice themselves.
Oh, yeah, it does. But it enters with three mining counters, and then Atraxa's just going to keep putting them on there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it is basically the same.
It's not providing you with two mana, though.
Yeah. Yeah, so Atraxa could use these depletion lands... If she wanted to.
These depletion lands.
Mm-hmm. So our next section are three-color lands. Now, if you have a four-color deck, you're going to need four of these cards. So take whatever number of dollars we tell you and multiply it by four.
Hmm.
And that's how much you got to spend. Let's start with the Alara Block Uncommons. It's this, like, Crumbling Necropolis.
Yep.
And I think that got reprinted in some of the Commander sets. Because I have one. But they come in tapped, and they tap for three specific colors, and they cost $1 to $3.
Yeah, these are pretty useful in Commander.
Yeah.
Ancient Ziggurat comes from Alara Block, too. Conflux.
So this next section, you added these layers.
Yeah.
So they are shards.
Yep.
They represent wedges.
They represent the shards, the same ones as the Crumbling Necropolis. And our example will be Croesus's Catacombs. That's still less than a buck. It's like, what, three gumballs? If we're doing a 25-cent gumball? And they're all in that price range. They're all really cheap. Totally worth having, too. And just like Crumbling Necropolis, they come into play tapped.
Yeah, in general, if a land can tap for blue, it's going to cost a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
If it can tap for black, it's going to cost a little bit more. And those stack. So if it taps for blue and black, it's going to cost on the high side.
Yeah, we do see that throughout this, don't we? Almost like blue-black are being played a lot.
So next we have some wedges.
Hey.
These were in the cons of Tarkir sets. Things like Frontier Bivouac. That's, they're even cheaper, I guess, because they're more recent, huh?
Yeah.
So next we got panoramas, like Grixis panoramas, an example.
Yeah.
And what these do, they can tap for a colorless, or you can pay one and tap it and sacrifice it, and then you can fetch a basic land of one of the three colors that this panorama likes to have.
Panorama.
All right. Now for the big section. All the two-color land types.
And there are a lot of them.
Now, if you want to be really stupid with your money, you can buy a set of original dual lands. Things like Underground Sea, which costs on the order of $400.
Yeah, I actually cannot believe that this thing is $400.
Yeah. Kind of crazy there. That's the cost of about 100 precons if you want to add 6 dual lands to cover all 4 of your colors in a 4-color deck.
Seems reasonable.
Because you'll need 6 of them. So that's about $2,000.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, some of the dual lands are a lot cheaper. Like, they're only like $100.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. So, Phil, you use dual lands?
I do.
You have dual lands, but do you actually put them in your deck and play with them to depreciate the value?
Well, I double sleeve all my dual lands, and since they're double sleeve, they're pretty well protected. The scariest time I had with them was when I played by the shore of a lake in Alaska in the summer, and when it got cool, we know what happens to water when it's in the air and the air cools.
Mm. It gets rainy?
Well, everything gets damp, see? So I had to, fortunately, because they were double sleeve, that actually saved my cards, because by the time we realized what was happening, all of my sleeves were wet. And we didn't scoop the game. We finished up pretty quickly. But yeah, I do run the dual lands, and I'm fortunate that I have so many of them.
Yeah, so they're not a budget option.
Nope.
But if instead of paying a few $100, you just want to lose 2 life, there are shock lands.
Yep.
And they cost about maybe $10 each. The example here is Watery Grave. They don't have to come in tapped. You can pay 2 life and untap them. And then they can tap for either color or mana.
And if there's one thing we have a lot of, it's life in Commander.
Mm-hmm. And you might not have a few $100 to spend on a single card.
Yeah,
so
it's ridiculous.
You just pay 2 life instead.
Now, I'm not saying that you should go down to Guild Gates, but I am saying don't go buy dual lands. Unless, of course, you know, you have that incredible amount of disposable income and or you're looking for investments, because if they never reprint those, they're only just going to keep climbing.
So next up, these are filter lands. And these are kind of weird. So normally they just tap for colorless mana. But if you pay 1 of the 2 colors that it likes, then it'll give you 2 mana in any combination of those 2 colors. And the example here is Sunken Ruins, and it's around $20.
Yeah, that's really unfortunate.
Unfortunate?
Yeah, that they cost $20.
Mm. Yeah, they're good, though.
Yeah, they are. They're good.
I really like being able to turn 1 black mana into 2 blue mana.
Yeah, that helps, doesn't it?
It helps a lot.
So you think that these are worth the price?
I do think these are worth it. I mean, you know, if you're on a budget, you build up to them. But yeah, I would go for the filters and the shock lands.
Yeah. Oh, well, let's not spoil our favorites.
Mm. So next, there are man lands.
Dun,
or they
dun,
could
dun.
They could be lady lands, but people call them man lands.
Yeah.
So the example here is Creeping Tar Pit. They come in tapped, but if you put a little mana into them, they can become a creature that does something weird.
Hmm.
Like Creeping Tar Pit, I believe, is unblockable.
Yeah, and some of the others are, one of the others is Hexproof, and some have First Strike, right?
Yep. But you got to watch out that your opponent is not playing a Circle of Protection lands.
Because
that's going to come up.
Yep.
Someday.
What a crazy card that is. Like, were lands really such a threat that they had to make Circle of Protection lands?
No, I think it was just a column in the spreadsheet that needed filling. Circle of Protection, red, white, blue, green, black. What else we got? Artifacts. All right. Lands. Hey, we got lands. Yeah, let's put them in there. Next up, these are called fast lands.
Fast lands.
They enter the battlefield tapped unless you control 2 or fewer other lands.
Hmm.
So they're only really good in the first few turns of the game. And for some reason, these are $10. I guess there's other formats like them, I suppose.
Yeah, they like them.
Because I don't often see this in Commander.
No, it's not a great card. I mean, it's marginally better than a Guildgate in our format. Yeah.
An example here is Darkslick Shores.
Good card.
Eh.
I do see it a lot in other format lists, though. It's one of those cards that, until I realized what the finance community was like and what drove that, I was like, why are people, why does this cost so much? And there you go. There you have it.
Mm-hmm. So this next category, what's the slang for this type of land here?
I do not know.
Are these battle lands? Let's see.
Some folks call them battle lands because they came from Battle for Zendikar. Okay. That's the one you're talking about, right?
Yeah. So these come in tapped unless you have two or more basic lands already.
Mm-hmm.
These are about $5. Right now, they're allied only. They haven't printed the enemy colors, so there's only five of them.
And these are actual dual lands, too.
They have the
basic
land
types, yeah.
So the example here is Sunken Hollow. Not Sunken Ruins, Sunken Hollow. These are about $5.
Yep. If you're playing fetch lands, and we'll talk about all types of fetch lands, in addition to the panoramas.
Yeah.
If you're playing them fetch lands, you're going to want to play these two.
Yeah, because they look for those. They look for the land type on the card.
Yep.
That's what makes shock land so good. So next, these are some weird ones. In Lorwyn Block, they had these tribal cards. So an example is Secluded Glen, which comes in tapped unless you reveal a fairy in your hand. I think Giltleaf Palace is looking for elves. And these are about $5 for some reason. I probably wouldn't use them. Except in maybe a two-color tribal deck.
Yeah, but pretty useful in those two-color tribal decks.
Well, I don't like revealing stuff from my hand. Unless it's a basic land, I don't care so much about that.
You don't have some pseudo vanilla fairy that you can reveal for Secluded Glen?
I don't have any vanilla fairies in my deck. When's the last time you put a vanilla creature in a commander deck? It doesn't happen.
Oh, yeah? What about, what is it? Isamaru.
Isamaru is not a tribal deck. He's just a dog.
Yeah, but you make a
Voltron dog.
You make a white dog tribal deck.
Okay, if you're doing something goofy, then sure.
Yeah.
Get one of the Lorwyn tribal lands.
I want to make a white dog tribal deck with no dogs in it.
And also, a mono white deck doesn't need these dual colored lands.
Guilty. You're right.
Next up, we got these check lands. Example here is Drowned Catacomb.
Mm-hmm.
They come in tapped unless you already have one of the land types on the field.
Yeah, these are good.
And they're about $3.
Because your actual dual lands count for this, too.
Yeah, and so do your shock lands and those other ones,
yep.
The battle lands. Next up, these are Shadow Lands, because I guess they were printed in Shadows over in Innistrad, maybe? Is that it? So example here is Choked Estuary. There's only five of these. They're allied only. And you have to reveal a land in your hand that matches the colors, or else it comes untapped.
Yeah, not too bad.
These cost about $3. They're still fairly recent. Next up are Pain Lands.
These are good.
Pain Lands tap for a colorless mana unless you pay a life. And then they can tap for one of the two colors.
Yeah.
They cost about $2, which seems low. That seems low to me.
Yeah. Well, people are sort of overlooking them, I think, in favor of the fetchable lands. These are not fetchable because they don't have the land types on them.
Yeah. And you are paying one life every time you tap these for colored mana.
Yeah, which sounds like, and I admit I fell prey to this too, like it sounds like a steep cost because you're like, oh man, I ain't paying a life. But then you really are only tapping it for two or three times anyway and drawing the colored mana from it, except in a real emergency, right? In a real pinch. So it's kind of like a shock land that provides faster access to the two colors. I don't know.
I don't know that it's faster.
Well, it comes into play. It doesn't come into play tapped, right? And if you tap it for colors right away, you only pay one life. And then every turn after that, if you tap it for a color, you pay a life. But for a shock land, of course, if you want it to come into play and be useful right away, you have to spend two life.
Ooh.
So, you know. Plus, it helps keep you off the throne.
Yeah, that's one thing. And also, if you're doing some weird life gain deck that looks for triggers where you lose life, then maybe Caves of Koilos is a good card for some weird Orzhov deck that Sean would talk about. There's also more of these. There's 10 total that don't come in tapped. There's 5 more that do come in tapped that are separate cards.
I wouldn't play the ones that enter the battlefield tapped and cost you one life to draw a colored mana from.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like the worst of both worlds.
Yeah, because these categories so far were just basically telling different types of shenanigans of how to make the land come in untapped.
Right.
So next up, we got Scrylands. These come in tapped, but you get to scry one.
Quite useful.
Sometimes. I don't like them so much.
No?
No. Unless your commander specifically cares about what's on top of your deck.
Well, some of the time. I almost always want to know what's on the top of my deck. Or I want to ship a land, or I want to ship whatever. You know, if I'm digging for something in particular and it's not that thing, then these guys help me out. But we'll get to that.
Yeah, I guess I'm more of a red mage.
Oh, yeah, you don't like peeking ahead. You were the first of us to stop using tutors.
Yep. So this next cycle, there are 4 tainted lands. And these are all weird because they all tap for a black and one other color. And you need a swamp in order to tap for one of the colors.
Well, only the useful dual lands tap for black anyway.
Mm-hmm. That's what I've been saying.
Yeah, these tainteds are good.
Yeah, if you're playing a multicolor black deck, might as well put some tainteds in, because you're probably going to have a swamp for some reason.
And someone's got Urborg.
Mm-hmm.
So if you've been unlucky and haven't drawn your swamp,
then you get swamps anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Next up, we're calling them Signet Lands. You know how a Signet works? These work the same way. You pay one mana, you tap it, you get two colored mana back. Example here is Darkwater Catacombs.
Now, is this cycle like the other filters? Yeah, these are kind of pricey.
Really?
Well, Darkwater Catacombs was just reprinted, but other than that, they were up around $2 or $3. Not a lot by mana-based standards, but still... I don't know. I have trouble paying $2 for a Signet. But it's redundant, so it's all right. It's not a bad card by any means.
So now we'll move on into the budget category of these dual lands. So all of these cost less than $1 each.
These are great.
Let's start with the life gain refuges. So they come in tapped, but you gain a life. There you go. Have a life.
Yep. And there's 2 cycles of these. The original that the effect gets its name after, the refuges, and then the cons lands, which are all kind of named something innocuous and bland so that they can be reprinted again and again and again. And you'd be surprised in Commander how often that one life pays off. And of course, since we're talking about 4-color decks primarily, we're looking at more than 2 life, that's for sure.
You can pay for your shock land.
Yeah, exactly.
So next up, we got...
Yeah, that was maybe not a lot. Maybe the one life is not going to help you a lot. But it does sometimes. Like, if I look at it as, oh, hey, I just got a free card off of Necropotence. Sorry, I couldn't even do it with a straight face.
Yeah. So again, if you're playing one of Sean's Orzhov decks that yep. need a life gain trigger... Trigger, trigger, trigger. Hey, I gained life again.
Triggers are good.
That triggers this other thing that does something else. All right. Let's put a million counters on my Karlov and Ailey. He likes doing that.
Oh, he does.
Next up, Ravnica Bounce Lands. So these are weird. They come in tapped. And when they do, you got to take a land back into your hand. But these lands tap for more than one color at the same time.
You gotta take a land back into your hand.
I don't know what you're doing.
These Ravnica Bounce Lands, if you tap your land to draw mana from it and then bounce it, it's almost like you didn't lose a land. You know what I mean? It's like you end up still kind of on curve despite now having a greater capacity per turn.
You're a little bit behind for a bit.
Just a bit, yeah.
Because it comes in tapped. But Dimir Aqueduct is the example. And the thing is, since these tap for more than one mana, they're going to be an attractive target for your opponent's Strip Mines and Dust Bowls and Ghost Quarters.
I confess I've stripped a couple of these out.
Yep. So next up, Guild Gates. Mm. Phil, you've talked about Guild Gates. They come in tapped. How about that?
Yep.
And their gates.
And their gates.
So if you got a Maze's End and you want to do something goofy, put some guild gates in.
Yeah.
Put all the guild gates in. And then say, oh no, my Sliver Queen is just looking for guild gates. That's what I'm doing.
That's what I'm doing.
Nothing to do with slivers here. Mm-mm. Nope. No, sir. No, just guild gates. See, there's one.
Yeah, there being gates has a mechanical effect on a few cards, which makes them marginally better than this next category, which has been reprinted a bunch of times. Not even reprinted, functionally reprinted a bunch of times.
So these next ones, they come in tapped. And that's about it.
And that's it.
Submerged Boneyard is the example. That's great. They come in tapped. And, yeah.
But at least they're fetchable, right? Oh.
Oh, nope. Next up, Storage Lands. Hmm. The example here is Dreadship Reef. All the examples I'm giving are blue-black, by the way, just to let you know.
Yeah, and this guy, you can pay one and tap to put a storage counter on it. And then you can pay one and remove X storage counters in order to get X mana in any combination of the two colors.
Yeah. So Atraxa could do some shenanigans with this, sure.
Yeah, it's just such a slow burn.
Eh.
It's like the silos, the old silos.
Yeah. And if you get a bunch of counters on them, they're also going to be an attractive target for being destroyed because your opponents aren't going to want to let you spend that mana.
Hmm. Something wrong with my opponents.
So this next category, Phil, I think you have a lot more experience about this next category than I do. These are fetch lands.
Yep. And they were printed in the Onslaught block and Zendikar block, and again in Battle for Zendikar. And these are the Polluted Delta is the blue-black one. These are very pricey. I think you have $15 listed here for the Polluted Delta, but I think that's on the low end. Mm. And certainly for the cycle that was not reprinted recently, which I think were the Onslaughts? I can't remember. Yeah. Whichever one was not printed, they're up in the dozens of dollars now. And I mean dozens. So.
Yeah, I don't use these much unless I'm specifically making a landfall deck.
Yeah. That's where they're worth it, because you get two landfall triggers off of them in one turn. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The other ones I use are the Mirage Slow Fetch lands. And I say I use them on occasion, right? They enter the battlefield tapped. Bad river.
They enter the battlefield tapped, and then you can tap and sacrifice it.
Yep.
And get one of the land types that this land likes. The Onslaught and Zendikar, you tap them and you pay a life and you sacrifice the land.
Yeah.
But they don't come in tapped, so you can do it immediately.
You can do it immediately. And so these slow fetches, a lot less expensive. They're basically a gumball up to $2 for, guess which one is $2, Nate?
The blue-black one?
Ding! They will help you if you're doing a lot of landfall, but they are definitely a little bit slower. If you do use one of these, I know this is going to sound super elitist, but make sure that whatever you do fetch, if it's a dual land, it enters the battlefield untapped. Maybe it's an original dual land, maybe it's a shocker that you're going to pay for, or you have whatever the battle lands do. What do they do again? Do they just check? Yeah, they just check.
Yeah.
Yeah, see what you have in play. I have recently pulled a lot of my fetch lands, except for my two, you know, top tier decks, because it's just so much shuffling. Just so much shuffling. I'm keeping that Karametra deck together, but even I don't think it has fetch lands in it. Just that's too cruel. Are you using this next one?
Ash Barrens is a recent addition to the Magic card world. And it comes in, normally you can tap it for colorless mana, or it's got basic land cycling 1. So if you pay 1 and you discard Ash Barrens, you can fetch any basic land.
Yep.
And it's about a dollar.
Yeah.
I think people like it.
Yeah, it works pretty well.
So these next ones are basic land fetches, like Evolving Wilds and Terramorphic Expanse.
Yep.
So you have to sacrifice these and you search for a land.
Yep. And I believe that land enters the battlefield tapped, correct?
Yes. Yep.
So a little bit slow, but incredibly cheap.
Yeah. And these get reprinted a lot in Commander sets, and they're about a gumball.
Yeah.
So this next one is specific. I'll let you talk about this next one.
Aw. You don't want to talk about Forests and Plains?
Not so much.
It's Krosan Verge, which it enters the battlefield tapped. You can tap it for a colorless. And I have many times gotten stuck just tapping this for colorless because I need the mana so much. But if you pay 2 and sacrifice it, you can search your library for a forest card and a plains card and put them onto the battlefield tapped. So you end up just for a turn behind. But again, if you're looking for those landfall triggers, surely, Nate, you are playing this in your landfall decks.
Yeah, the landfall decks that have white. I don't do off-color fetching. That just seems wrong to me.
Yeah, it's totally wrong. I mean, who would do that just to pull, you know, a dual land or something?
And that's about a dollar.
It sure is, that Krosan Verge. I like your special category here.
Yeah, so the special category, you added Nykthos, Shrine to Nyx.
Yep.
That shows up in a lot of monocolor decks. But it could tap for any color mana if you've already got some permanent on the board.
Right. So it's sort of conditional, but it acts a lot like a Cabal Coffers, except it's flexible at the point at which you tap it.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd use it in a monocolor deck.
Mm.
But the next one, Urborg Tomb of Yawgmoth, I use that in pretty much every deck. It's about $10, and it turns all the lands into swamps.
All the lands into swamps. Now, are you weaponizing these swamps?
Nah. I just want to have more swamps.
Yeah. Swamps, it turns out, they're pretty useful.
Yeah. I mean, if you're playing a four-color deck or even a three-color deck, and suddenly you don't have to worry about one color of mana, that's great.
Yeah, really. Now, Sean weaponized this by using it in white decks, because he casts karma.
Oh. Can you do that, though?
Yeah, because it doesn't have a black mana symbol on it at all. It just says all lands are swamps in addition to blah, blah, blah. And then, of course, you and your...
Karma spell.
Did we unredact that?
No, we've talked about it since.
Yeah. I do use Nykthos in Karametra. Sorry, that's pretty much a green deck that splashes white, so... worth considering if you're heavy in one color. And who isn't playing green, Nate?
I'm not usually playing green.
I know. I wish you would.
Why?
You see how cool green is.
I see what green can do.
Yeah, green's awesome. Big creatures, usually trampling.
Fetching forests.
Fetching forests. Lots and lots of fetching forests. And
gotta fetch those forests.
Yeah. Some elves. You play Nath. We know the truth.
Mm-hmm. So, out of all these categories that we named, which ones do you like, Phil?
This was tough because, of course, everybody likes the OG dual lands, but that's not really practical. So I go for the next best, the Shocks. I really like the Shocks. I love the Ravnica bounce lands. You can use them in so many different ways, and we have so many lands that are special in some way. You can use it to recharge a Vivid land that's lost all of its counters, or any of the other lands that use counters. And if you're using Bojuka Bog, you can bring it back to your hand and then re-exile somebody's graveyard if they're being particularly troublesome with their graveyard.
Or if someone has turned your commander into a forest,
yeah,
or a land with Imprisoned in the Moon or Song of the Dryads,
yep,
you can put it back in your hand.
All sorts of...
it's a land.
Yeah, it absolutely is. All sorts of ways to use those bounce lands. So they're great utility. And then we already talked about the Scry lands, which I just love. I love knowing what's coming next. I was the kid who peeked at his gifts at Christmas time. I didn't, but I found them, and
yes,
I tried.
You did.
Okay, I did a couple of times, Nate.
Did they use the wide ribbon that you could slide a little bit? You could slide it out of the way, and then you'd take an X-Acto knife and cut out a little viewing window in the wrapping paper?
I never did that, Nate.
Okay. Then you can just slide the ribbon back into place and cover up the... never mind.
You know, you talk about that with some authority.
I'm just thinking things through, hypothetically, yeah.
What are your faves? Faves. What are your hearts? Heartlands.
So, I like the Shocklands too.
I think
they're basically dual lands, except you're paying 2 life instead of $300.
Right.
And you can take that $300 and spend it on some filter lands, because those are great.
Yeah, you can get 15 filter lands for one $300 dual land.
Mm-hmm. That's not a bad deal.
No, that's not.
And then I like the check lands, the ones that check if you already have an island or a swamp in play. That's basically coming in untapped, unless it's like turn two.
Especially if you're running Urborg.
Mm-hmm. So those are my three.
Yep.
I like the tainted ones, but I don't actually play them.
Really?
Yeah.
Not even in an Orzhov or asterisk black deck?
No, I should. I should try them out, though.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I realized how cool they were in Athreos, right? I think I got a modern event deck, like that crazy white-black one. And the tainted lands are in there, the black-white tainted lands, and they're just really useful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because you're playing swamps, man. You're playing them.
Yeah, I probably got some swamps.
Wow. This is a good topic. I'm glad you brought it up.
Yeah, we had to do it sometime.
Yep. And so this here, Nate, it's almost the end of the show.
All right. I got a message.
He's got a message.
So my message of the week, this card, Hall of Gemstone,
oh,
one green, enchant world. It's a world enchantment. During each player's upkeep, that player chooses a color. Until end of turn, each mana-producing land produces mana of the chosen color instead of its normal color.
Why?
This is about $5.
Why would you do that?
So good luck casting your multicolor spells, your four-color generals. And according to the first answer I got in the MTG Judge chat, it overrides Chromatic Lantern.
Yeah, because the effect happens at the player's upkeep.
Mm-hmm.
Why would you do this? We're talking about a happy thing where everybody has access to multiple colors from their lands.
It's a green card. I thought you'd like it.
But it's a mean green card.
Yeah, you could play this in Selvala or Nissa or... Yeah.
It's kind of a white effect, isn't it?
It's a pretty badass effect.
Yeah. I think I have one of these after this guy brought in his collection to work and just gave it away.
Mm. So if you're building a mono green deck, play Hall of Gemstone and watch the amusement.
And choose green when it's your turn.
Yeah, try to choose green. Don't choose orange or purple because that'll mess you up.
This shuts everybody down.
Well, it shuts down everybody who's not playing a monocolor deck.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. But if you're playing mono green and you're facing off against mono black and they choose black, then you are not able to cast spells on their turn.
Hmm.
Yeah, well, it's green.
It's green. It's not easy,
but it's green. It's not easy. Now, what happens if you're playing one of the Ravnica bounce lands and you name one of those colors? Does it then produce two of that color?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, it does seem that way, doesn't it? Because it doesn't change the quantity, just what it produces. But don't take our word for that. Go to Judge Chat and ask them. Well, that's, as usual, a pretty nasty card, Nate. And it,
thank you.
I kind of hate doing the message of the week just before.
No, you don't.
Because then I'm reeling from it. Like when you did Corrosion in one of the last episodes, it was like, oh my God, I was so flustered. I thought it meant all tokens. I'm still flustered.
It's all artifact tokens.
Yeah, it sure is. Look at me. I'm getting all flustered as it is.
Link had a Nissa deck. He had a mono green Nissa, the Planeswalker deck.
And was he running this?
I don't know. I didn't see it.
Hall of Gemstone.
It's about $5.
Yeah. That's worth it.
To screw everybody.
Well, thanks for tuning in, everybody. Let us know if we missed any land cycles that you really like or think we should have covered. You know, we're only human.
Yeah, there are some of them that sacrifice themselves. I didn't even put them in here.
Yeah. Yeah, those, I remember looking at some of those for the Gitrog. When he was all the rage. Don't tell him he's not. Lands like Terramorphic Expanse or even the Transguild Promenade and Rupture Spire. Those are great because you just put them into play if you're playing Gitrog. You don't pay for them. Instant card draw. Bam. Cheap card draw, I should say.
It's basically cycling.
Yeah, but I ain't paying for it except with land drop. If you want to support the podcast for all the good things we put inside of your ears, head over to patreon.com/commanderandmtg or just give us a 5-star review on iTunes. We love our listeners and we are incredibly grateful to all of our patrons like Sasha Reimer, Tyler Daly, and the suspiciously named Tim O or Timo? Tim O? Come play test your decks with us, and if you donate $10 or more per episode, come join the
joy.
The patron chat we host over on Facebook. Nate, do you know who created our fine theme song?
Oh, yeah, I did that.
Yeah, you sure did. It genuinely still makes me laugh when I hear it. Like, I listen to that, and I wish I were right there with you when you were writing that song. I do. It's kind of crazy and sounds a little bit weird, but, you know.
Yeah, a little bit.
A little bit. Our logo was created for the podcast by Mr. Picto with assistance from my wife, Kelly. This episode was probably edited by Terry Robertson. Hi, Terry. You know, he left that in last time. And our videos are now created by senores, Hunter Pruitt and Bradford Heron. Special thanks to our tech whizzes, Jesse Thompson and Graham Frank, and of course, for his server space, Justin. You can reach us by going to our website, commander@mtg.com. Our email is cast@commander@mtg.com. How do they find us on social media, Nate?
Oh, you type in Commander in MTG Podcast and you hit enter and it'll tell you.
What if you hit enter twice?
Well, then it'll tell you twice.
Mm. Individually on Twitter, I'm @KetJack.
I'm @MrPlorg.
And then Sean, LARPing under the tunnels of, where was that?
The Maginot Line.
The Maginot Line.
The bunkers.
Yep.
He's bunkering up.
Yep. You think he's playing a World War I role-playing game?
Oh, no. He's gone full drow. Dark elves.
Of course. We're better to play dark elves than in the tunnels under the Maginot Line.
Yeah, in France, so there's going to be some catacombs.
Yep. Lots of catacombs. Well, you can find out all about his LARPing adventures at Copain26. Sean is happy to take your complaints about life, the universe, and everything, or Magic the Gathering, but not both. At Copain26. So, I think that's it. That's another episode, Nate.
And that's our show.
Commander.